Hey, I was watching the news the other day, and there was a couple that they were interviewing that had been married 60 years. Can you imagine 60 years? And the reporter asked the couple what they did for their 25th anniversary, and he said, "I took her to Beijing, China." And he's like, "Wow, that's extravagant. And how are you going to ever top that?" And he said, "Well, what'd you do for your 50th? He said, "I went and picked her up." So. Sorry. Oh, man. Hey, we are in a series called I Pick. If you're joining us for the first time today, this is our third week. The first week we looked at picking purpose over popularity. Karen last week did a great message on surrender over control. And what we're doing is we're looking at deliberately making choices in life that will help us become who we want to be and who God wants us to be. Because basically, we are the sum total of the choices we've made in life. Where we are right now is because of choices we've made all along the line. And by the way, somebody took my duct tape. Huh? No, I had duct tape up here in case this microphone fell off again. It's springy. So we are the sum total of the choices we've made in life, and we want to make choices to head in the right direction. And next week's going to be a really good one. It's going to minister to a lot of people, I think. If you're like me, you've got like, I've got this to do, and this to do, and this to do, and this to do, and I've got to get over here and do this, and I've got to go over there and do that. And what we're going to look at is how to pick important over urgent, because they're two different things. So that's what we're doing next week. To kick off this week, I'm going to share with you something that my preaching professor told us. He said, when you start a message, never start with something negative. Always start with something positive and have a little hook to it. Now, I don't follow a lot of what I learned in Bible school. I don't have a suit and tie on, and I still wear Crocs. And so I'm going to break that rule today and start with something negative. So here it is. You ready? You are going to have pain in life. Welcome to River Valley. We want to encourage you. So, but we are. We all will have pain. There are certain pains that we don't get to pick because of things that happen in life. But even Jesus said it himself. And he said in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, there are things that happen. You can have freak accidents. You know, somebody you love maybe broke your heart and hurt you. Or, you know, any number of things. The company downsizes, you're out of job. The kid brings home a cat. So, you know, there is going to be pain in life. You know, so you guys know what cats are, right? But there are certain things that we get to pick. We get to pick the pains we have. We have control over some of it, some of it we don't. You know, give you an example. You can obey your parents, or you can suffer the consequences later, okay? Or you can study for the exam and the pain of that, or you can take the class over again. So there's different pains in the way we do it. You know, you can have all the latest and greatest toys and electronics now, or you can have the pain of mounting debt. So we get to pick some of the things. And today what I want to do is I want to give us we're going to be picking discipline over regret, okay? Discipline over regret. And, you know, people hear the word discipline, and let me give you a definition that we're going to be using. And it's basically, it's choosing between what I want now and what I want most. It's delayed gratification. Actually, I did a series years ago, and as a part of that, I don't have that kind of money anymore, but I offered somebody in the congregation, they could have a $100 bill right then and there. Or they could wait 2 weeks and have $200. They made the right choice. They picked the $200 and waited 2 weeks. It's delayed gratification, okay? What I want now or what I want most, okay? And we're going to look at Romans chapter 7. And if you need Bibles, there are Bibles in the back. There are the scriptures will be in your notes. And we'll actually have them up here also. So we're going to be looking at Romans 7. It's Paul talking to us. And if you don't know a lot about Paul, This is a guy who encountered the risen Christ. I mean, the glorified Christ. Christ had died, been put in the tomb, came back, and Paul had encountered him at that point, the risen Christ. He was healed from blindness. He got caught up in this place called the third heaven. And Paul wrote almost a third of the New Testament. So if anybody had it together, you'd think Paul had it together, right? This is the guy that would be spiritually, you know, I've got it. However, Paul talks about the difficulty he has in doing the right thing. And as I read this, it gives me hope because, you know what, I've messed up a lot over the years. This gives me hope that if this guy's struggling with it, I can struggle with it and get beyond it too. So what he says, I don't really understand myself. I don't really, I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I mean, he's saying, you know, it's like I ate the whole thing. I didn't want to eat the whole thing, but I ate the whole thing. I wanted to do what's right, but I didn't do what's right. And he's going back and forth, and he almost sounds like a little crazy guy talking about it, but he goes on, you know, have you ever felt that way? You know, I want to do what's right. I want to do what God wants me to do, but, and he goes on to say, you know, what a miserable person am I. Who will free me from the domination of sin? I mean, he's struggling with this whole, you know, I want to do it, but I can't. I want to do it, I can't. And he goes on to say, you know, thank God, if I don't get it right, who's going to get it right for me? I can't do it on my own. He's saying the answer is Jesus Christ. We can do it through Jesus Christ. And I want to do the right thing. I can't do the right thing. God's the only answer. The answer is not me being better. The answer is not me trying harder. The answer is not me being stronger. The answer is the only way we're going to do it is through Jesus Christ. It's that simple, you know? If on our own, left to our own, we will make choices over time that we'll regret. We will, you know, won't get us where we want to be. And if you look at how Paul keeps going on, and you see his progression. I mean, he's starting out here in Romans, and then you go over to Corinthians. You see this in Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9. He's using this image or this metaphor, and I love it. It says, don't you realize that in a race, what, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, right? Everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. Everybody is in the race, so he says, do what? Run to win. Run to win. I mean, when you're running, you're not running for second place. You're running to win. You're running to get first place. And you know, Karen would probably tell you if she was up here that one of my spiritual gifts used to be I was really competitive. I hated to lose, you know. So I like this one. I like this metaphor of running to win. And but we're not running to win to get the trophy, you know. It's if a football game or a soccer team or whatever wins, what do they get? They get a little plastic trophy or a ribbon, or you know, if you're really really good, you get like a gold medal. What's a gold medal? It's pavement in heaven. I mean, it's nothing. It's nothing. So we're running to win a prize that's not going to fade away. We're running to win for the glory of God and for his honor. And you know, I love the imagery that he uses here. And his audience, they would have known at that time that he was probably talking about the Isthmus Games. They were kind of like the Olympics, but they were held, I don't know, second or fourth year after whatever was, anyway. But they were a lot of patriotic and pride and these athletes that they would train for like 10 months and they would just eat the right food, no alcohol. They would expose their bodies to like these extreme conditions, like really extreme cold and heat. And by doing that, it would train them. And, you know, even the author of Hebrews, he uses the same thing when he says, you run the race that's marked for you. And he says, let us strip off anything that hinders us. Anything that hinders us. And you know, and the sin that so easily entangles us. So he's saying the same thing Paul is. You know, they've got this hole, and the audience would have known, you know. They used to strip off the clothes to race, so there was nothing hindering them. And well, if I'm in a race with a bunch of people stripped off clothes, I'm running to win. I'm not being second. So think about it. But I mean, they're running. We're not running for an earthly prize. You know, we're not running for something that's going to spoil or perish. We're running for, you know, to glorify our Father in heaven. That's why, you know, when you come into church every week, you know, it's well, think about it. When you go to these, we went to the game Friday night. It was a really good game, by the way. And it didn't lightning this week, so it was cold, but it was good. So when you come in, what do you want to get the good seats, right? You go expecting the team to win, right? You're cheering them on. Well, that's like church, you know? When we go into worship, you know, we're coming into the presence of God. You know, there's worship going on in heaven right now. If you don't like the worship, heaven's going to be a disappointment because there's a lot of worship going on. I mean, it's, get used to it here because we are going to be worshiping in heaven. It's going to be awesome. But that's what we're doing. We're entering into that worship that's there. I mean, we want to be a part of it. We want to be excited by it. And if you come in expecting God to use you and to connect with God, it will happen. You will connect with God. If you don't expect it, well, you know, it's not going to happen. But if you come in expecting every week, I'm going to get touched by God. God's going to use me to minister to somebody else. I'm going to experience God in worship. I'm going to experience God in the Word or in a conversation or in fellowship. You know, all those things, you will. So, I mean, that's why we're doing it, is to glorify our God. You know, and another thing that they taught us in Bible school is we don't get up and teach for knowledge. We get up and teach for life transformation. That's what the Bible's about. It's, you know, I went through years of, I knew a lot about Jesus Christ. I can tell you about the hypostatic union, and I can tell you all these theological things, but I didn't know Christ. Don't be in that place. Experience God. I mean, so you can have all this knowledge, but what they told us is, you got to have so what, or the yes but how. You know, I heard a lot of good messages over the years, and they would say, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to do this. And I'd go, yeah, I ought to. But nobody ever told me how. So, we're going to tell you how. I got two questions for you this morning that are going to be application questions. And you're going to have to answer them for yourself because I can't give you the answer to these. But the first question is this. What do you want most? What do you want most? In your life right now, what is it that you want most? You know, and don't say I want to win the lottery. I mean, do something serious. Yeah. I mean, we all want to. It's really mega big right now. I hear on the news, but yes, God, I told you you would encounter him. Sorry, you know, I've always wanted that to happen for an illustration, and I wasn't prepared for it. But, you know, maybe you recognize you need to take God more serious. You know, maybe you need to get into a relationship with Christ. Or maybe, you know, you're tired of being in debt. Or maybe you're tired of your marriage not being what it should be. You know, whatever it is, you know, maybe you want better intimacy or more intimacy. Whatever it is you want. But think about it and write it down on that paper if you got it in your head. But be careful. Don't just, I know what happens a lot of times when you ask people this question, what do you want most? They'll go, well, my life is so unorganized. I need to do this. Pick one thing. One thing. Don't write a whole bunch of things down. Don't think about a whole bunch of things. Think one thing. Pick one thing. What happens is when you start working on that one thing and you achieve some success in it, all of a sudden, it starts opening up the door so that more things happen, okay? So pick that one thing, and I lost my duct tape, that one thing, and write it down, all right? Nobody's writing. No. Fake it. Just do your finger. Work with me, right? All right. Now, the second thing you need to do in this application is you got to pick what you got to do now to achieve that. What do you got to do right now to achieve what you want most? And this isn't rocket science. It's, you know, you're smart people. This is easy. You say, you know, for example, I want to get closer to God. I want to know God more. I want to be used by God. What do? You get into His Word. You study His Word. You get into a Bible study. Get into fellowship with other believers. You know, make church a priority. You start doing those things. You worship God during the week, not just on Sundays. And it's that simple, okay? You know, maybe you want to get out of debt. You know, how do you do that? Well, get into Dave Ramsey. You guys know who Dave Ramsey is? Get into one of his financial peace programs. And now think about this. You go one night a week for 2 months, and it could change your life. You know, 1 hour, one night a week, 2 months. It could change your life, literally. So what is the question, you know? You want your marriage? You know, maybe you're not satisfied with the way your marriage is or your relationships are. How do you work on that? Easy. You know, one of the easiest ways to really spark up your relationship is treat your spouse the way you treated them in the beginning. You ever think about that? Date your spouse. You know, have a date night. Date nights are so important. You know, maybe you need to send the kids to grandma's for the weekend. And you know, and get some time. That's really important. God wants you to do that, by the way. That's what grandparents are for. Send them to the grandparents. Yeah, grandparents are going. We get to send them back, though, after we've spoiled them. You know, there's so many things that you, whatever it is that you want to do, there's so many simple ways you can do it. And you know, maybe your marriage needs more than a little tweak. Maybe you need to get some counseling. That's okay. Whatever it is, you can do this, but you got to write down what you want most. Look at 1 Corinthians. It goes on to say, so I run the race, and I run it with purpose. I run the race with purpose in every step. You know, it's like, what? I used to be a junk food junkie. I mean, I really, wow. And I was a little on the large side at one point, and I remember we had a large screen TV in our bedroom before, you know, it was one of these where it was a rear projection type thing before we had the really nice flat ones. And every morning my youngest daughter would come in, and before she'd go to school, and we'd lay there and watch Animaniacs, I think it was. It was like a Looney Tunes type thing. And we would watch that. And one morning she said, Daddy, I can't see over your belly. So it's like, it's like, wow. I mean, you know, I like junk food and I want to sleep in, but, you know, there's other, you know, it's when my kids were little and would fight, I didn't want to get up and deal with it. I just wanted to give them a pair of boxing gloves and say, tell me who wins. But you know, sometimes we have to, you know, I'm incredibly undisciplined, except that I've learned that I want to take a little bit better care of myself. So, you know, let me explain. This will make it easier. All right, let's say, what do you really want? You walk out of your front door, and what you really want is this really beautiful lawn, okay? What happens is, to get down to the road, you're going to have to take the sidewalk down to the driveway and then go down the road that way, okay? I figured this out. It slipped. Okay, so you come out. There's this beautiful lawn. Okay, I'm going to go this way. I go over here, and I go down, and I go all the way the road this way. And it's a lot further, right? The quickest way would be to shoot straight across. Well, you don't shoot straight across because it will damage the lawn. But one day you come out and you're like, gee, you know, one time won't hurt. So we walk down the middle. And What happens is your mind gets this little rush of dopamine because you're doing something you know you shouldn't do. So you get a little rush, and it creates these neural paths. So you think, well, it doesn't happen today. So tomorrow you come out and you get ready to turn, and you're like, that was fun yesterday. And it didn't do anything, so you head down again. What happens after you do that for a long time is these neural paths keep rewarding you, and you're going, okay, I'm doing this. So we start going down the middle, and before time, what happens? You got a path we're in. What I really wanted was this nice lawn, but now I've got this really yucky looking lawn because I've made a path through it going to the thing. So we got to discipline ourselves in order to have the nice lawn. It's the same thing with anything else you have in life. You know, it'd be so simple to walk this way. It would be so simple to do it this way. But if I do it this way, I'm going to regret it. Right? As we're disciples of Jesus. And one of the things I like is disciple and discipline come from the same root word. We're disciplined disciples of Jesus, all right? That, you know, the same thing's true with our finances. You know, the fastest path to me in that boat is debt. However, if I save over time and save and save and save and save, I will have the opportunity to bless other people and then eventually get my boat. Or, you know, it could be any area of your life. Whatever you want most, it's going to require a little bit of discipline. It's going to require sometimes going the long route around. And, you know, let me be real with you. Can I do that? We can be real? All right. Before I was a pastor, I was a man. All right. You know, now everything's really holy and floats around. And no, really. But I'm just kidding. I am still, and Karen is too, we are just as vulnerable as anybody else to temptation. We have to discipline ourselves. You know, you let your guard down and you get in a situation where you shouldn't be. It takes discipline to do that. You know, I want to lay in bed and eat donuts, but I can't do that. I wind up, you know, whatever it is that's really important to you. And let me say this. Don't ever let whatever's most important to you right now will probably wind up being your greatest regret if you don't do something about it. I don't want to go through life that way. I didn't want to go through life missing my kids and going, man, if I had just done a little less ministry, a little less of this, I could have spent more time with my kids. No, we spent time. We made the time. We started out down the wrong path, but we changed it. Don't let that, you know, gee, I could have saved my marriage if I had only done. Don't let what you want most become your greatest regret. All right? That it is so. Well, you know, I've been with a number of people as they've passed into heaven, and there's a lot of regrets that people have. Don't live that way, okay? I want to encourage you, don't let your life go that way. Pick to do what you need to do right now to get what you want most. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to come back. And we are, you want to bring the whole team and just do one of the songs you did before? You're going to get a chance to worship the living God. This is so cool. But I want to pray for you guys this morning that as you're making choices, as you pick what is most important to you, and I know a lot of you are just going to walk out of here and go, yeah, right. Pick something. Whether you write it down or have it in your mind, pick something and start working on it. Just one thing. Just one little thing. You know, it could be just, I'm going to drink one less cup of coffee tomorrow. Whatever it is, just one thing that will begin to change your life. And once you get in the habit of it, you're going to find it's not that hard to do. It really isn't. All right, so Father, we thank you that you are in the control of all things. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and that you would minister to our hearts right now, that, Lord, we would have the ability to pick what you want most for us, Lord. We acknowledge that you're on our side. We acknowledge that, Lord, you're the only one that can do it. We are undisciplined without you. But Lord, we say, have your way. Have your way this morning. Father, we want it to be all about you. We want our lives to reflect the image of Christ, Lord. We want to be the hands and feet of Christ. We want to do the stuff that Christ did. So we say, use us, Lord. Use us to accomplish your purpose. Use this church to accomplish your purpose in this community and in the world. And Lord, I pray your blessing right now upon your people abundantly and exceedingly beyond anything they would ever dare to ask or imagine, Lord, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever they're in need of this morning, Lord, I ask that you would open the floodgates of heaven.